Barb and I just got back last Monday, by matter of fact, on a 14-day cruise to Alaska. Oh, man, and if you've never done that, I recommend you put that on your bucket list. That is a wonderful thing. But I've also had the privilege of being a tour host for a group of people at least four times to the Holy Land. What a joy that has been. But it's also, I've taken groups to Greece and Ireland and Scotland and Wales and England, leading groups of persons to live in the life of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul and John Wesley. And I remember when we were in Greece, you know, we wanted to get as close to Paul, you know, to feel something about Paul's love for Christ. So we went to Athens, first of all, to relive that Mars Hill sermon that he had. And then we went over to Corinth, the place where the church existed that gave him so much problems. And I thought what that might have been like. And then we had communion there. And then we got on a ship and we went to many different places. Just tried to go where Paul had been. Just to feel what it was like. And then on to Macedonia and Philippi. And we had a little service by the river where Lydia, as you know, the first Christian convert in Europe, was baptized. Great place. A special time. Communion in the midst of the ruins of Philippi. And this is the church, by the way, that Paul loved so much in contrast to the Corinthian church. So it was quite an experience to live in both of those. And all this time, I was lecturing every day on what was going on, and I led worship services, and I counseled people more than usual. And there were some elderly folks with us, and I wanted to make sure, you know, that they were comfortable as possible. So I worked at that. All this was going on, and I remember when I came home, I was exhausted. I mean, I was totally wiped out. Now, I shouldn't have been surprised because I've done this before, four or five times, and I never seemed to learn. Someone told me the story about a man who went into a seedy-looking travel agency, and he asked, "Is this the place that has the $100 cruise?" And the woman said, "Yes, it is. Just go through that door." So he went through that door, and he ended up in a dark room. Somebody hit him over the head, took all of his money, and when he came to, he was floating on a log down the river. And another man went by in exactly the same condition, floating on a log down by the river. And he yelled at him. He says, "Are you on this cruise?" And the man said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, do they serve lunch?" He said, "No, they didn't the last time I was on this cruise." Some of us never learn. We never learn. But the reason I bring this up is because something hit me on my trip to Greece so powerfully that I realized with great embarrassment and with eager curiosity that this is in such contrast to the man in whose life we went to study, to be close to be with. I mean, the Apostle Paul went to all of these places and more, and he did that over and over and over again. You remember in Sunday school, don't you? Paul's first missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey. Months and years he did this. And he was lecturing, he was preaching, he was giving pastoral care, all these things. He was starting churches. He was raising money, if you remember, for Jerusalem, for the hungry in Jerusalem. And in all of his letters of Paul, I don't find a hint of fatigue or of exhaustion like I experienced. I mean, it's just the opposite. He was full of enthusiasm all the time. There was a boundless energy. He was a bundle of energy. And that's the feeling that I get just as he went all over the world. And I found myself ever since that trip asking, how did he do that? It is in such contrast. How did he do that? Well, with the Apostle Paul, we always start with that baseline, and that's Christ. From the time of his Damascus Road experience, everything in Paul has been interpreted through Christ Jesus. And we are in a good position to do that. And Colossians is a wonderful text for us. The first chapter of Colossians is where Paul tells us so much about Christ. And yet in the passage that you just heard, Paul said, Christ in you is your hope of glory. That's the miracle. The living Christ is in you. Can you imagine that? And in me, as our center, our source, our hope of love and of glory and life, that we can have a personal relationship with the Christ of the universe. And Paul says both these things over and over and over again, and beautifully here in the first chapter of Colossians. So I'm asking you this morning, I just want you to kind of be in touch with that, to be aware of Christ in you this moment, to be aware of Christ among us, and to know that this grace unspeakable, that the Christ of the universe is the Christ in whom we can know and love as the beloved, as companion, as Lord, whatever image is right for you at any given time. And now what Paul does is very simple, but yet so important, is to take another step in this passage, as we've just heard. And he tells us that this personal relationship with Christ, this personal relationship is the source of tremendous power and energy and renewal and strength for us. Paul came to understand this. He said to those Philippians he loved so much, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's so different from many of us who go around and run around and try to do all these things on our own, and we lose that contact, forgetting where that strength comes from. And here in Colossians, that closing line that just echoes in my head, because after he has been talking about this eternal Christ, after he tells us about the Christ in us, Paul then goes on and talks about his life, his ministry. And he talks about working hard, the very thing that I was talking about. And he says, I continue striving with all of the energy Christ Jesus mightily inspires within me. What a great sentence. That's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. For everything that we're called to be and everything that we're called to do, Christ mightily inspiring us. And if we would just turn to that, if we would just be open to that, if we could make contact with that, that's what Paul is talking about here. And the thing that's so frustrating, it also happened to me in a different setting. This time we were in England to follow the footsteps of John Wesley. And we went to Epworth and we went to Oxford and we went to London. We went all around these places. And the same thing, I come back tired. And John Wesley, up into his 80s, traveling 250,000 miles on horseback in the 18th century, preaching and teaching and lecturing, starting churches, pastoral care, the whole thing again. And the wonderful thing I read in his journal, I mean, he is preaching at 5 a.m. to the miners before they go to work, coal miners. And it's like this day after day after day. He preaches 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day. And all the other things that are going on. And at the end of his journal entry, he so often says, my strength was as my day. that a great sentence? My strength was as my day. Whatever the day required, my strength was there. But for John Wesley and for the Apostle Paul, it's Christ. He talks about that over and over and over again. Being with Christ. Christ is all in all. So here's the Apostle Paul and here's John Wesley setting an example, a clear, direct example for me and for you, that whatever you're called to be and whatever you're called to do, this is the strength that is available to you, the Christ of God, so that you can strive in whatever you're called to do with the energy Christ Jesus mightily inspires within you. Now, a little example of that, a trip before that, this was to Israel, and I'll never forget this. I mean, I had worked so hard. Have you ever worked hard on something? I worked so hard on this one occasion to prepare my folks for a visit to Jacob's Well. It is, if you know, if you've ever been to Israel, it's a very important site. Now, you can't go there anymore, unfortunately, because of the disturbances. But this is one of the true, authentic sites. You can't move the well. That's the well. We know Jesus was there. We know it. So I gave a lecture. I worked so hard, though, the night before with my people. I got them all together like I have you. We're all together. We're talking about it. We're going over the scripture. I just wanted them to know what was happening, where we were, and all of that. Then we went the next day, and we had a special service. I gave a meditation. We had communion. We talked about water, and water is a symbol, and all this. I mean, I worked hard. How hard did I work? Weisenheimers. I work really hard. And then I heard this lady get on the bus and she asked her husband, where did he say we were? Oh. And her husband said, hell, dearie, I don't know. Just get a bottle of water and get back on the bus. Oh, my gosh. I find that humorous now. But I didn't then, let me tell you. I mean, in that experience, I literally felt energy draining out of me. Have you ever had an experience like that? Just, whoosh, there it goes. Trying so hard and then getting that kind of a response. Those things happen to us all the time. But whatever we're called to do and whatever we're called to be, the secret, learn the secret, G.H., learn the secret, learn the lesson. The secret is what Paul is modeling for us and John Wesley models for us, going back again and again and again to Christ, who mightily inspires us. It's Christ's energy that is available to you now. Whatever you're going on in your life right now, whatever you need in terms of renewal or empowerment, even as you're going through a retirement or whatever you're doing, Christ Jesus is here within you, for you now, as you reflect on that for a moment. It's powerful. One other thing very quickly that's important to me, and I kept asking, okay, how did you do it, Paul? How did you do it? It just doesn't happen. I mean, I've been trying all my life in ministry and how to get to the place where you stay connected with this. I mean, you know, so where do you turn to in the midst of a hell-dairy kind of experience? And in Colossians, I find Paul saying to his friends there, continue steadfast in prayer. And I realized how often in the letters he talks about this, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He talks about praying for the Roman Christians and the others. And I realized that is what it was for Paul. was this vigorous, growing prayer life where he learned the way, where the conditions were set up that made it possible for him, then under pressure and under stress, to turn to the source. And this is important because most of us who are here today would say, Reverend, I agree with you 100%. There's probably no argument here. Prayer is really important. The problem is we just don't do it. We don't have an active prayer life. In fact, the 40 or so that went on me on that trip, people who are willing to pay good money to go on a trip like that, only a handful of them said they had an active prayer life. And then the minister comes along and he preaches and he makes us feel guilty about not doing it. It's not about guilt. It really isn't. I just don't know of any shortcuts. I don't know of any gimmicks. All I know is to just do it. Find the time. Just a few minutes a day to do it. I always liked the story that Charles Allen talked about. J. Arthur Rank is a businessman. He had an elevator that went from bound floor right up to his office, but he never used that. He always took the steps. And every day when he'd take each step, he would pray to God for how God is going to be with him each hour of the day. Every time he took a step, he thanked God to be with him. And then when the day was over and he walked down the steps, every time he took a step, it was his way of thanking God for how he was with him during that day. And maybe this morning's worship is just going to remind you today, step by step, to continue steadfast in prayer as Paul talks about, because I'm convinced it is one of the ways that he got to the place where he could turn whatever he needed to, again and again and again, to the source. So I'm grateful to Paul. Oh my gosh, I'm always grateful to Paul because he always helps me love Christ Jesus more and more. It always happens, but especially in this kind of specific way. And then finally, I know all of you, mostly everybody here, remembers Mother Teresa. What a dear saint she was. She won the Nobel Peace Prize, as you know. Well, there was an interview one time with a young man who had gone to India to help Mother Teresa in her mission to the poor and the sick. Now, he was given the task, though, of working with a small group of 8 to 10 boys who were homeless and parentless. So he became the parent, he became the teacher, he became the friend. And he lived them. He was bringing them up. And when a reporter asked the young man, gosh, aren't there times that you get discouraged and disappointed and all out of energy and you just want to give up when you realize how many thousands of children there are that you're not going to help? And a look comes over this young man's face in which to say, what a crazy question. And then he finally says, here are some boys who need help and who need me, and I'm able to help them. That's all that really matters. But still, I find myself asking the question again, how can you be Christ's man? How can you be Christ's woman in situations like that? And then I know they are striving with all of the energy Christ Jesus mightily inspires within them.